Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew, beginning in chapter 5 and verse 13. Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast down, or to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Once again, a very pleasant good morning to you. We are so appreciative. I have a wonderful number present with us here today, and we want you to know, to our members, we are excited to see you here, and to our visitors alike, we are just overjoyed to see so many smiling faces. And if you are visiting, want you to know, we'd love to have you back any chance that you may have to come our way. And those listening by way of radio, we would like to extend the same invitation for you to come our way. 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, that is our address. We would love to see you here anytime at the Arlington Church of Christ. There was a man who got up early, first day of hunting season, got up before dawn, took one of his hunting dogs with him, and they're out there walking along in the woods, and all of a sudden he just gets starving to death, and he forgot to bring his snacks. He looks around and finally finds some mushrooms. He thought, "Well, I like mushrooms," so he picks one or two, pulls out his pocket knife, he slices it up, and as he's eating the slices of mushrooms, one slice falls on the ground, and that dog comes in and snatches it up, and he doesn't think a thing about it. Goes home, showers, goes to work. While he's at work, about halfway through the day, his wife calls him and says, "Honey, I hate to tell you this, your dog is dead." Well, he just hangs up the phone in panic, going, "Oh no, that dog ate a mushroom, and that wasn't good for him. And if it wasn't good for him, it might not be good for me either." So he leaves work, runs to the hospital, walks in the emergency room, tells them the story. They take him back, they pump his stomach. He wakes up from all that procedure, his wife standing there, and he looks at her and says, "Oh, this is a lot of pain. Did my dog suffer this much?" And she said, "No, he got hit by the mailman." Okay. So you got to be careful, Gary. Moral of the story is, don't go hunting. I'm just kidding. This morning I want us to talk about light, Christian light, our influence as Christians. Now, I'm not going to make you sing the song, although in our lesson text we did have the scriptural basis for one of our VBS songs, right? Verse 15, "Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. There's a reason that we sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." Well, I want us to talk about how you and I can use our influence. There was a flash of light on the screen to encourage you to use your influence for good. What is light? Just to make sure we're all on the same page here. It is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. I know you're going to say, "Oh, Brother Justin, I knew what light is." Yes, I'm glad you did. But I want to make sure, see, light, and you have darkness. Darkness is simply just defined as the absence of light. So you have light, and God gave us two lights, right? The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. We learned that in Genesis chapter 1. And we have several different forms of light in this building right now. We've got the natural light coming in from the windows. We've got the long lights. We've got the yellow lights here. I mean, lights are just abounding. We could not go through our day, I dare say, without the use of light. Artificial, especially. But what about influence? I'm really wanting us to key in on our influence as a light. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. I can influence you to maybe do one thing or another. Maybe by the way I describe something, maybe influence you to want to go out and have the same meal or to buy the same car that I have. Or you look to someone for maybe fashion influence. Or if you're like me, you look at what's popular in fashion and you run just about as far away as you can from it. But I guess that's another story for another day. But people are influenced all the time. And advertisers, they want to influence you. Over 3,000 advertisements a day are we flooded with. And that's a lot. A lot of advertisements. And some use their influence for good. Smokey the Bear, that's a good advertisement, right? Only you can prevent wildfires. And then some are from some debaucherous acts, which a Christian should not be doing. See, influences are all around us. Well, I want us to talk about the word light. You know, in all forms of the word light, lights, whatever phrase of that you want to use, some 309 times in Scripture. Now, luckily for you, we're not going to go over all 309. But I do want you to show that I believe this is a worthy topic for you and I to discuss, since it appears so frequently in Scripture. I want us to look at light, and dear Christian friend, how you and I can use our influence and look at three simple things about light. But if you're not a Christian, I hope this lesson encourages you to become a Christian so you can see what great impact you can have on the world around you. And dear Christian friend, if you once were faithful and you're no longer what we would call faithful, if you have fallen away, separated yourself between you and God, I hope this lesson will influence you to return home. Three things about light. Number one, I want to talk about what light does. What light does. And you know the first one. Actually, you could probably guess both of them. But the first thing that light does, plain and simply, is light guides us. At night, if you live in the city limits, the street lights are going to come on so you can find your way back home. I have to say, in the city limits, I know some in the county have lights as well. Growing up on my road, we lived on a family road, dead end, and we were a mile and a half down it. There was one street light on the entire road, and it was at the end of my grandparents' address. And when my grandfather went to bed, flipped the light off because it was his light. And so if you came in at a certain time, that road was pitch black, and you had to know where you're going. See, light guides us. You ever thought about this, though? In darkness, we turn on a light to see where to go. I have never, in all my years, and maybe you have, you can prove me wrong, I have never turned on a light fixture because I want to see how pretty of a bulb it is. Have you? I've never done that. I've never really even turned them on to look at the whole fixture itself. Now, I may look at it, but I've never gone, I wonder what this light looks like. No, I turn the light on so I can see the room, so I can see the road, maybe have a reading light at night, whatever the case may be. We turn on a light to see where to go. Go back to the book of Psalms, if you will. Easiest way to do this is if you lay your Bible closed and then on its spine you open up in the middle, more likely than not you're going to open up in the book of Psalms. And if you do it right, you'll open up at Psalm 118, because that's the dead center of the Bible. And I want you to go just a little past that in Psalm 119. Notice this passage here, Psalm 119 and verse 105. It's in the none section as they divided up Psalm 119 according to the Hebrew alphabet. We get to the letter none, verse 105. Notice here what the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." See, God's word to us today, dear Christian friends, it guides us. It illuminates the way. You ever wondered what you're supposed to do in life? God's word's going to tell you. You ever wondered how you're supposed to act in life? God's word's going to shine some light on that. You ever wondered, what does God want me to do in worship? You don't have to be in darkness. God tells you, the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." If you're still in that passage, jump down to verse 12. He says, "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always unto the end." It's almost like God's word lights up the path between here and heaven. And the psalmist says, "I'm going to follow in that lighted path until the very end." See, God's word, or what light does rather, is it guides. It guides. We want to see where we're going. That's why they make a lighthouse. That big, tall building we like to go in when we take a trip to the beach. And they have that big light bulb that just shines. They'll shine for 27 miles out to show people where to go, or if you're like us, we live near the airport, and at night, sometimes you can see all those lights they've got going on because they want you to know where the landing strip is. So you don't miss it, because that's kind of a problem if you're landing a plane and you're not in the right place. They have all these lights. I'll never forget, for years at Short Mountain Bible Camp, which, by the way, I don't know if you know it or not, Short Mountain is the highest elevation in all of Middle Tennessee. About 2,700 feet up in the air. And so you're up almost at the top where the Bible camp is, and we would shoot off fireworks. And then when I would get home, my parents, who lived at the base of the mountain, say, "Boy, that was a really nice fireworks show you did." So we were up on a hill, and everybody could see from miles around. We would get calls from Smithville. I mean, just all over the place. "Y'all shooting off fireworks at the Bible camp?" "Yes, we are." Till somebody didn't anchor them down, and then we didn't shoot off fireworks for a little while. But we had people that called us. You know what Jesus says back in Matthew chapter 5? "You are a light on a hill." That's what I think about shooting off those fireworks up there. A lot of people saw it. Were we shooting off the fireworks for all these other people that saw it? No. We were shooting it off for ourselves. But other people saw the influence of that light. So number one, light, well, it guides people. But the second one it does is it attracts people. It attracts people. I think about a porch light. You flip your porch light on, and within 60 seconds, who has showed up at your door? Moths, right? Little bugs. Sometimes big bugs. Or you get those little plug-in lights that you can get that kill like fruit flies and whatnot. Tried one of them out. I thought there was one pesky fly in the bathroom. And I kid you not, I plug it in. This is not an advertisement, but I plug it in, and 30 minutes later, there were five on there. I don't know where they came from, but boy, they saw that light. And they were attracted to it. Now, of course, they met their demise. I didn't want them there. But that's what happens, right? Light attracts things. Dear friends, when Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5, if you're there, look at verse 14 before we look at verse 16, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus doesn't give an option here. He doesn't make this multiple choice and say, if you want to be a light, you can. That's not what my scripture reads. What about yours? You are the light of the world. Dear friends, since we are the light, there's no me getting around that. Notice what he says in verse 16, "So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Since I am shining a light, I need to be attracting other people. Almost like I need to be that porch light that comes on that attracts all the moths to your front door. I used to not believe this next quote that I have on the screen, but the more I think about it, the more it's true. It says, "You may be the only Bible some people ever read." And then I went, surely not. I'm sure other people. And then the more I think about it, and with how wicked some of this world is, I may be the only example of a Christian that some people are in my life may ever see. That makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Because Jesus says, "Let your light." He doesn't say, "Shine your light." There's a difference. He says, "Let your light so shine before men, not that you get the glory, but that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So I want you to think about this final question. You, where you are right here, right now, are you attracting people to Christ? Or are you detracting people? Are you bringing people in? Or are they looking at you going, "Well, if that's what a Christian is, then I don't want any part of that." Because if so, then you're using your influence poorly if you're turning people away to Christ. His word has lit up the path, and he's ready to attract all sorts of people, and that's where we fall in. How are you using your influence? Are you bringing in the sheaves, or are you leaving them out there in the field? So that's number one as we look at our light. What light does, it guides and it attracts. I want to answer a second, or make a second statement now, and look at who light is. Now that I know what light does, well, let's figure out who exactly is light. And I can come up with two good reasons, and I'll put the most important one first, and that's my best friend. His name is Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. Don't take my word for it. Hear what Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse number 12. There are seven statements like this in the book of John where Jesus says, "I am And then he fills in the blank. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the resurrection. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. Well, notice what Jesus says here in John 8 and verse 12. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me should not walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Now, if anybody would know, that would be Jesus. There's no doubt. Was Jesus confused? No. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Jesus is the light of the world. Go back to the beginning of John. John has been alluding to this since the first chapter of his book. Really the first five verses. Then we'll jump down for verse 14 in context. And John's going to begin his gospel account very similar to the way the Bible starts in Genesis chapter 1. But I want you to notice, why did John write? He says in John 20 and verse 31, I have written these things that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. So what did John write so you and I can believe? Notice, in the beginning, so that sounds like Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, that's a name. That's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, capital W, watch it, was with God. And the Word, capital W, was God. See, Jesus Christ, there in the beginning. And he was with God. And he was God. Notice, this same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. But the darkness comprehended it not. Doesn't that kind of sum up what happens in the book of John? When Jesus Christ comes down to earth, watch verse 14, and the Word, same W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So if you had any worries, any doubts, John, who are you talking about? Well, there's only one person I know that was there in the beginning, that also came down to earth and dwelt among flesh, right? I can't think of anybody else save Jesus Christ. So Jesus came as a light to shine in darkness. But verse 5, the darkness comprehended him not. That kind of sums up all his earthly ministry by and large, doesn't it? Now, were there people who got it? Oh, there were. But by and large, the multitudes, they didn't get it. His enemies didn't get it. The religious elite didn't get it because they sought to kill him, and they eventually did. See, Jesus is the light, and he came to shine as a light in the darkness. But go with me to 1 John chapter 1 now, because John has some more to shed on this idea of Jesus Christ as the light. And we're just going to read the entirety of the first chapter of 1 John. And it's almost like he's echoing how he started John. He's going to talk about that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the, there's that capital W again in there, of the Word of life. So he says, we have heard, seen, touched, looked at Jesus. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it, bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you that your joy may be full. Watch it. This then is the message of him which we have heard and declare, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie. And we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Not only is he the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And he will forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Now that word is not capital. That's just the word of God. But I want you to notice here, Jesus Christ is the light. He and the Father are one and the same. And Jesus came to this earth to shine light in darkness, but the darkness, they didn't want to comprehend him. So number one, who light is would be Jesus. But then number two, that would be us, is it not? We as Christians, are we not supposed to be representatives of Christ here on this earth? We already mentioned Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Well, Jesus said he was. Well, who else can make this distinction except him? Since he is the light of the world, that means he would know what it is to be light. And then he points at his disciples and says, you are also the light of the world. Not might be, but you are. Go with me to that passage in Philippians chapter 2, if you don't mind. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. See how Paul puts this. Paul says, back up to verse 14, just because I enjoy the verse. Through all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, when Paul writes this to Philippi, we're in the middle of the first century. And that was a wicked time. The Roman Empire was wicked. They did not like Christians, and so they made the road of a Christian a hard road to go. Yet when I read this letter that Paul writes to those in Philippi, I almost feel like Paul is writing it in 2023. I'm going to read verse 15 again, see if this doesn't apply to you and I today. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Doesn't that kind of sound like us today? Don't we live in a crooked and perverse nation where those that are leading our country, they hold up something that you and I know is sinful, like homosexuality, and instead of condemning it, they glorify it. Or holding up something like alcohol, and instead of condemning it, they glorify it. Or holding up relationships outside of marriage, which we know God says not to do, and they glorify it, and multiples at a time. We are living in a crooked and perverse generation or nation. It's no different than when it was written in the first century. You and I must shine as lights in the world. Let's run these references in Peter, and then we'll hit our last point, because we're going to stay in Peter for that point as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, look here at verse 9, and then also verse 12. 1 Peter 2, 9, and then jump down to verse 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar, set apart, different, not supposed to look like the world around you people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. See, we're not supposed to walk in darkness. That's the whole reason Jesus came, so we don't have to. He says, you've been called out of darkness into light. Verse 12, having your conversation, your lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that by your good works they behold, glorify God in the day of your visitation. He said, it's going to happen. That you're going to meet people who are going to speak evil of you, and then whoever they're speaking evil to you of, they look and go, well, that can't be Gary. Gary doesn't have an evil bone in his body. He goes to church, he does this, he does that. They're going to speak evil of you, and your good works are going to prove them wrong, which means you better have good works to prove them wrong. You'd hate for them to walk up and say, oh, can you believe Gary does this and that? And they go, Gary Hager. I know Gary Hager. Yep, sounds about right. So there's a contrast there. Do your good works, that they may be seen of men, and glorify your God, your Father, which is in heaven. Dear friends, you and I are lights. That's a big responsibility. Yet I believe we can handle it. So who light is? Number one, it's Jesus. Number two, it's us as Christians. Now let's figure out our final one. Since we've identified what light is and who light is, well, how does light work? How can I use this to influence people? How to win friends and influence others, right? To borrow from the book. We've already talked about 1 John 1, verse 7. But if I follow in the light as he is in the light, I have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. I can have fellowship and follow Christ, but I've got to walk in the light. See, if I live a worldly life full of wicked and sin, there is no way I can walk in the light. Because if I'm walking in the path that Jesus left me, Jesus did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. That tells me that he didn't leave me a path to follow of wickedness. I tell you what else. It permits or it allows others to see Christ in us. Once again, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Gary mentioned in his sermon in the 9 o'clock hour, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, be ye imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Not follow me because I'm Paul. It's do what I do because I'm following Christ and I want you to see Christ in me. That's the highest compliment anyone can receive is I see Christ in you, or I see God in you, his works in you, because you are a Christian and you want to do what he has said. So how do we apply this? Stay with me in 1 Peter. We're going to finish out most of the book of 1 Peter, at least the second and third chapter. How do I apply this since I am light? Number one, I must abstain from fleshly lusts. Go back to 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and as pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, may by your good works that they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. How do I apply this? Number one, as a light, I must abstain from fleshly lust. What's that? When the body wants me to do something wicked that God said not to do, take this drink, take this, do this with somebody, whatever the case may be, do it with myself even maybe. I must abstain from fleshly lust. Why? Because they'll tear you apart, verse 11. You're not warring with anybody else. They're going to tear you apart when it'll destroy the soul. That's number one. Number two, keep going in 1 Peter. I must obey the laws of the land. Submit yourselves, verse 13, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We'll let you in on a little secret that even some in the Lord's church don't want to abide by. Do you know if I obey what the government says, assuming that what they've told me doesn't contradict what God's word is saying? Do you realize that when I obey what the government says to do, I'm obeying God? Because God told me to obey what the government says. Now if the government said you can't go to church anymore, I'll be first in that line and I'm going to go to church. And if the government said you can't preach anymore, I'm still going to preach, same message. In fact, I'll probably just dust off some old outlines, ones that they should have already heard. But you know what? If the government says, out here on the highway, I no longer want you to go 45, I want you to go 25. Well, that doesn't really go against what God said, now does it? So I guess I ought to do it. And you know what? If the government says, I'm going to put you in a new tax bracket, congratulations, you owe us more money. Well, that doesn't really go against what God has said, so I guess I better do it if I want to be pleasing to God. See, sometimes we're so concerned about following the big stuff, air quotes, that we'll let the little stuff go by. He says, obey the government. Submit yourselves to them. Let's move on. Number 3, verse 18. Jump down. I need to be a model employee at work. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So you work a job, and you've got a worldly boss. And it's a worldly job. You work at XYZ store doing XYZ thing. But you know what? You can still be a Christian at work. Do you know that? In fact, you could be the best employee at work. So what if the boss favors somebody else over you? It doesn't matter. You're going to be a good employee. What if somebody else gets picked for a promotion over you? Guess what? You're still going to be a good employee. You're not going to say, I'm going to burn the place down. That's the wrong attitude. Maybe you're not meant for that. Maybe it will harm you in the long run. See, God's got this plan. You be a good employee and you'll be rewarded for that. Keep going. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. What must I do? I must be faithful and loving to my spouse. We won't have time to read all this, but you can read it on your own. But I tell you what, men, you want a good way to obey God? You love your wife, and you love her more than anything else in the world. And women, you want a good way to honor God and serve God? You love your husband more than anything else in this world. And parents, you love your children, and children, you love your parents. In the Lord, for this is right, but when I love Sarah, I'm serving God. That's biblical. You don't have to go out and move mountains. You can serve God right at home. He also says, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, I must live harmoniously with other Christians. Just look here at verse 8. Finally, be of one mind, compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, not courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrarywise, give them a blessing, knowing that thereunto you are called, you should inherit a blessing. Look at verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and follow after it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. See, I must live harmoniously. Are we going to disagree? It'll happen. But more times than not, it's over something petty that really doesn't matter when there are souls at stake. I must live harmoniously. And then finally, verses 15 and 16, I must be prepared to tell others about my faith. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that once again, whereof they may speak evil of you, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your good lifestyle in Christ. See, I better be prepared to tell others about my faith. And that brings us back to our idea of being a light, doesn't it? Letting your light so shine, because there are going to be people. And they're going to say, why in the world were you not at the lake on Sunday? Why in the world did you not go out to eat with us after we got off of work on Wednesday night? We were out till all hours of the night. Well, I can't. I've got Wednesday night Bible study. I can't. I've got Sunday morning worship. See, light allows us to follow, others to see us, and then allows us to be a good influence. I've got a simple question for you. Plain and simple. How is your light shining? Don't let Satan get out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. Don't be like an old strand of Christmas lights. You know, the new ones don't do this. Remember the old strand of Christmas lights? You get them out after being in the storage for a year, and you get them out, and that one bulb is broken. And guess what? The rest of them won't work anymore. Remember that? Don't be like that. See, if you're a Christian and you've let your light dim, it affects those that are around you. Use Jesus as our example of light, and do our best to light up this world of darkness around you. As we sang at the song before the lesson began, send the light. That's our job, to send the light to this dark world. If you're not a Christian, why not become one? This has shown you the glory of being a Christian and what you get to do for God. Why not become a Christian? Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. You go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. Dear Christian friend, use that influence for good and for God. And if you're not, you need to repent. If you're using your influence for the wrong reason, you need to repent of that. We'd love to pray with you and pray for you. We already read 1 John 1:9, your sins will be forgiven. If we can help you in any way at all, we humbly ask that you let it be known while we stand and while we sing.